My first year in seminary, my first class, the assignment, was a beauty walk. It was part of a community studies class where part of what we were to do was to volunteer for 8 hours a week in a community organization. The beauty walk consisted of spending 2 to 3 hours walking in the neighborhood around that organization, wherever it was housed, to take our time to see things that we wouldn't see from just driving by there, to notice the people in the neighborhood, the terrain, the houses, the gardens, the trash, the businesses, to see where it seems to shift from small houses to larger houses or from houses to apartments. As you can imagine, each of us in the class had different experiences. So I ask you today, what would we encounter if we spent 2 to 3 hours walking here among this neighborhood? There's a pretty large subdivision at the end of Gleedsville Road. There's a gap road is a dirt road that connects to 15. There's a Gleedsville Cemetery right over there. We could walk a ways down a driveway and visit Natalie Penn or Louis Bergeron or the K-Works, I think. There are huge houses and there are some rather rundown houses. There's a preschool down the road. And there's the house across the road where Elizabeth Scheib grew up. And over on the other side of the road down there, there's a road that leads into a housing development with a beautiful view of the hills. I recommend it, especially in the fall. There's a nature preserve, this road, and a school at the end across Evergreen Mill. How does all that shape who we are as a congregation? How does it help us be who we want to be? And how does the fact that we are here help those around us? How do they need us? And how do we need them? There is also a recovery center down the road. How do they need us? And how do we need them? I'm going to take a moment to apologize to anyone who may be a first-time visitor, because this is an internal sermon about this congregation. People in the know about visiting churches say that you should visit a congregation at least 3, if not 4 times to get a feel for how it really is, so I hope that you'll do that. But today, because it's annual meeting, and I don't often use the pulpit for this, but because we're looking at how we live our mission of kindling the flame of love and justice, how we nurture and heal ourselves, each other, and our world, and because we've determined that this place doesn't serve us all that well, I want to offer some possibilities to you for place and how that may change who we are. Because we're determining that this space limits this congregation in who we are and in thinking about who we can be. And because we have a very competent space force, our very own, a task force that's looking into the options of where we could be, when and if we're not here. But for me, in the last couple of years, I'm going to share with you some of the places that have been shared with me and offer us a chance to envision something new. Most of these I know about because you've told me. Someone in this congregation has told me, which means that people are looking. That's what that means. I am not attached to any of these. In fact, most of them are already sold. But it's just an exercise to get us thinking so that we don't limit ourselves. So let me say this before we even get started. Do not start thinking about how we can afford it or thinking that we can't, because If we start thinking about money and how we're going to make it happen, that's a surefire way to kill the visioning and the dreaming. And in order for us to, for this congregation to have something else, we have to have a vision of something else to entertain the possibilities. Maybe something specific about what that is. It may be something that even the Space Force has not yet imagined. So just release any limitation or obstacles that arise. When I start going through these things and something comes up for you that's in the way of having it, just like, you know, I don't even mind this. In the move aside, back to, but just move it aside with your hands and let that just, you know, let your mind and your heart and your body go somewhere else. Imagine what it would be like, feel like. How does it feel in your body, in your spirit, to envision it, to see it, hear it, to have something else? So first thing that came up, well, the first thing that came up was that big church, was it? Yeah, at the end of the Woods Road that was, you know, $5 million. Okay, but it's gone now and they've done what they've done with it. But the next thing that came up was a 5,000 square foot furniture store. What if we had gotten that? What could we have done with that? It was in the neighborhood down the road off 7 next to 15 bypass. What if we'd gotten that? And we had space for Sunday services and religious exploration, as well as offices. We could have had a school in the building and space for sharing with community organizations like Equality Loudoun or All Ages Read Together or both. Excuse me, could it have been an interfaith center or a community center? Could it have had a food pantry or a service center for people without housing to have a place to give us, to give an address, like we would have been their mailbox. And their mail would come and they could pick it up from there. That's what the Uptown Faith Community Service Center did, where I did my community studies work. Phones that people could use, computers to look for jobs and check their email, a clothing boutique for interviews, food distribution. Would we have taken part of the parking lot and made a playground? Could we have put in a coffee shop or a coffee garden? The Seventh-day Adventist Church near the intersection of 7 and 9 was the next thing that came up. It went so fast, so we hardly had time to even think about it, but that was already set up as a church, so that had some possibilities. The Coastal Virginia Unitarian Universalist down in Chesapeake had a church in downtown Norfolk, and nearly every single storm, it flooded. Some of you will recognize their interim ministers who told them that they really needed to move, Phyllis Hubble and John Manuel. They did eventually leave that beautiful old flooding church and bought a beautiful three-story building that formerly housed a construction company. They underestimated the size they needed for a sanctuary and were already outgrowing it when I was there in 2019 and were considering going to two services. Their religious education enrollment program went from 5 to 95 in a short time. There's a winery over on Dry Mill Road. It has some land around it. If it's good enough for the Catholics to make wine and sell it, I suppose we could as well. I'm not sure that's who we want to be, though, but maybe we could grow grapes or have a community garden. As they say, though, you don't buy a winery to get rich, you get rich and then you buy the winery. But what if we did have a huge garden that would feed those in the community who would, and we would also welcome having, maybe they would welcome having space to grow their own vegetables if they live in an apartment complex. Or we could give people jobs for the growing. What if we grew flowers and folks could come and pick their own and give us money for them? What if we had a coffee garden there? You know, a little restaurant type thing. What if it were a wedding venue? Or we shared space with community organizations or a school? How does that shift and change who we are and what our ministry is? There's a church in Pasadena, California. They had a large building and they were down to about 20 people. They no longer met in the huge sanctuary, but they met in a small parlor. But then, with the help of a new minister, actually, began to envision something else. They started a learning garden as a way to transform their environment through community. They're now up to 100 members. The garden was founded on permaculture principles, beginning with Bermuda grass and hard pan clay, and it now includes a raised bed food garden, fruit trees, a drought-tolerant native garden, demonstrations of water harvesting techniques, soil building, uses for urbanite and other recyclables, and comfortable places to congregate. The garden hosts birds, butterflies, beneficial insects as well, and they partner with another organization that works for sustainable living and life on the earth. The space is working with folks who are helping them look for properties, and some of these are commercial properties in what we would call strip malls or industrial areas. It might not be our first choice, but if you've visited some of those churches and other places, you know how beautiful they can be. We can give it heart and soul ourselves internally, and how lovely it is to have places to park and space for classrooms and offices, a place specifically for preschoolers to play and for a nursery, and enough space for all ages of RE. And a place where maybe, maybe, we aren't dealing with so many mice. It's been a problem. And a place that's truly physically accessible. A place where we have a fully accessible ramp for wheelchairs. We have a ramp here to our sanctuary. But can you imagine a person in a wheelchair trying to get from the sanctuary down to the restroom? So perhaps living our values means we make different choices. I hear the Restoration Hardware store is empty or moving. What could we do with that space? What possibilities would a beauty walk open for us in that area? The most recent space I know of is out on Old Waterford Road. There are two empty lots beside the VFW, diagonal from the library with lots of parking. There's a play, and they don't open till 12 on Sundays. There's a playground across the road, already built in. Morven Park out the front, and the Shibes on the other side. There's a bus stop at that library. What if we were located near a bus stop? It would widen the circle of who our congregation is and who it becomes. We would probably have to get a special exception for building, but it's Leesburg, not Loudoun. But perhaps first we just buy the land. We'd have to make sure it's well kept, because that's been a problem. But it could be there for a while as we pay it off. And if we don't get a special exception for a new building and parking, etc., we can sell those lots that would by then have hopefully increased in value. That's all I got right now. How will we know what is right? And when is the timing right? Someone said at the board retreat last June, the time to have bought land was 20 years ago. Okay, that's true. But if we don't do anything, 20 years will go by and we'll still be here. And maybe that's okay. Maybe this is what you love and what you want to be, and that's enough. It can be enough. Pete Fontenot, who was here for the RE reboot that we offered February, I think. it's been a blur this spring. Did some research, and he said, he really gave us a lot more than we thought we were going to get from him, but he spent time looking at the demographics of Loudoun County, and he says in his report to this congregation that there should be three times as many Unitarian Universalists in Loudoun County than we have. They need a home, a place to belong. If we're going to counter the messages of hate and exclusion that seem to be so prevalent, if we're going to keep love at the center of our faith. There just need to be more of us. This is a beautiful, lovely chapel. We're part of a historic legacy as stewards of this space, and we've done everything we can to be good stewards. But we're not the only ones who can carry that forward. We can sell it to a like-minded org, but we can't really control what happens after that. And that has to be okay. In some ways, that's a spiritual quest, practicing non-attachment, appreciating what we have and had, and then letting go. But as Elizabeth Scheib said earlier, care of this building has become the de facto mission of this congregation. It has. And I believe it is time for you to move on, to be a part of a surrounding community and let that surrounding community be part of you, wherever that may be. It doesn't have to be here, though it could be. Elizabeth also said in our Big Questions, Big Talk, that we've tried everything to grow our numbers, to include others in the last 27 years that we've been here, except for moving. So let me say one thing about numbers, because I know it seems like that one of the indicators that we're ready to move is that we should be completely full and overflowing, and then that's when we can talk about moving. But research shows that when a space is 80% full, or maybe slightly less, that it's seen as too full, and so attendants adjust to keep it at that 80% level. So we'll never be full to overflowing, except maybe at in-gathering or Christmas Eve or Easter if we're lucky, maybe annual meeting or a music service. Maybe there's a formula to follow, and we can try to create one and stick to it. And my life experiences teach me that it's not necessarily about a formula, but it's more about being ready and being open and willing, and it requires being ready to pounce. It requires faith, is what it requires. Sometimes a leap of faith, of holding our nose and closing our eyes and jumping into the deep end and trusting and knowing that we will rise to the surface and be able to float or swim and even drown proof for a while. I had a poster in my college dorm. It was yellow on one side and black on the other, with a somewhat jagged line down the middle, like a cliff or something. And on in the yellow in black print was, "Faith is walking to the edge of all the light you have and taking one more step." And the P of the step was over into that bright yellow, dark unknown mystery. H. Murray in the Scottish Himalayan expedition writes, "Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. The moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur, one, that would never have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no one could have dreamed would have come. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. Blessed be and amen."